And welcome to Take 10. I am Bob Martin. We're here today with a three-decade veteran in the beverage industry, John Barnes. He's also the COO for Company Kitchen. We're going to talk a little bit about that initiative. Past vice president, general manager for the Pepsi bottling operation in Missouri and Kansas. Originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Let's talk about the beverage industry. Everybody likes to consume various beverages. Maybe you can talk about your experiences in that. What made that unique?
The beverage industry was awesome to me. It came by me naturally. My father was in the business. His one brother was in the business. So I got married when I was 19 years old, needed a job, and started driving a Coke truck. And that's how I got in it.
But, is that right?
Yeah, and I had a great run for almost 30 years, as you mentioned, and it was very, very good to me and the family. So I will defend the beverage industry, the most vilified, take out tobacco and breast implants, the most vilified industry, unfairly so.
Well, I'm sure it's unfairly vilified, and those other two, we'll have to explore those. So tell me a little bit about then how you transitioned into what you're doing today, and talk a little bit about Company Kitchen, if you would, please.
Sure. So Company Kitchen was formerly known as Treat America in Kansas City, was a customer of mine. I've got to know the owner. We're privately held, family-owned business. The easiest way to describe what we do is we feed people that are working. We're in the food business, sell a lot of beverages as well. So we do everything from office coffee, food and beverage vending machines. We have a convenience store concept that we put in the marketplace that's called Company Kitchen, which is the reason why we've now rebranded the company Company Kitchen, because of its success. And then if you're a large employer where you have a restaurant in your workplace, we have chefs and cooks, and we run those operations too. So we most of our business is in the workplace, primarily.
Very good. Exploring your brand, I see where Company Kitchen is a quote unquote people first culture. What does that mean to you?
Well, we're in many ways a staffing company. You know, people hire us typically in the cafe space where we are doing work for companies inside their workplace. They want a cafe. They want the employee benefit that having food and beverage made on site can provide. And they give us the space, typically give us the equipment, and they hire us to run it. So we bring the chefs and the cooks and the dishwashers. And so we're people company first, because people make that happen. No matter how much we have technology and how much we have computers and other things that help us do our job, at the end of the day, we're a business that relies on human beings, and so we need to take really good care of them.
Obviously, it's not a leap to understand why you're an advocate for company wellness, employee wellness initiatives, but you're in a staffing industry where a lot of your workers are not employees per se. How do you reconcile the dynamics of your industry and this idea where wellness is a key component of success?
Now, let me correct that. All of our employees are full-time employees of our company.
So when
I said staffing, I mean, in a sense, people look at us that way, but they are all our employees. But in the workplace, in today's world, if you're going to do food and you're in the workplace, wellness is going to be a part of that. And every company is looking to provide healthy alternatives for their employees. And every company is worried about their healthcare costs and things like that. So we try to put that in front and not be afraid of it. A lot of people in our industry get afraid of health and wellness because you can provide a lot of healthy things, but people don't actually necessarily gravitate to that naturally.
Sure.
They want food that tastes great. So the trick is, I think for us, the way we try to approach it is, it's a combination of education. And then if you can put some incentive behind the education, that's where you get the most success. So we try to identify, first and foremost, we'll provide a wide spectrum. It's not our job to decide what people eat. It's our job to make a lot of options available, including healthy options. Don't hide them, don't sit them at the bottom and have two of them. Don't say, hey, we have a bag of bagged chips and a bottle of water, there's our healthy option. But provide a wide variety of options. Make sure that people know what they're eating. So we try to educate them with nutrition information. And we have a program called Go Light, which is really simple and easy. So we tag every item, either green, yellow, or red. Green being the best for you, yellow being better for you, and red, some days you just need that because your mental health is important too. But if you can match that education with a little bit of incentive to get people some incentive, and we've written a number of programs that help people do that and track it, and where we have client partners that partner with us, they put a little investment of their own money in, you can really change people's behavior.
Sure.
So that's what wellness means to me.
What impact do you think, going back to your earlier career, what impact do you think these wellness initiatives will have on the beverage industry?
I think the beverage industry is going to be fine. I mean, it's been around a long, long time. It's going to be around a long, long time into the future. But it has changed dramatically. There's no question people drink less carbonated beverages today than they used to. And it depends on what camp you're in. You know, it's sugared beverages were first bad because they're high calories. Some people view soft drinks that have artificial sweeteners in them as bad because they have artificial sweeteners. And there's even the camp that says you shouldn't do bottled water because it'll hurt the environment. So, but I think so. It's the industry has adapted. There's a wide people think of beverages as Coca-Cola or Mountain Dew, but they there are lots and lots and lots of more options for beverages than there have ever been and out there in the industry today. People have to take in a certain amount of liquid, so physically they have to do it. So the industry is going to be fine, but it's had to change quite a bit, and a lot of the growth has slowed down, especially with the bigger companies. It's helped some startups. You know, there's a number of startup companies that have gone out and said, "Hey, I'm going to try this beverage or that beverage," and a lot of people call them functional beverages or things like that. So there's a lot of new entrants, but the industry as a whole is going to be around a long time. And actually, the industry has done a great job trying to police itself and work and make a lot of options available and be a person. The industry tries to help the wellness debate, not hide from it.
Sure, good points.
Yeah.
Going back to your personal career, so you were a truck driver, literally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now you're a chief operating officer of a growing enterprise.
Yeah.
What if you were given your offspring or some kids that are just coming out of college advice on keys to their success, what's worked for you?
Yeah. I have two kids that are young adults now, and I'm paraphrasing things I've read, and so I'm not trying to plagiarize anybody, but the best advice I give people, it's not that hard to have a good life in the United States of America if you do these things. Get an education. College is probably best in today's world, but if you don't finish high school, you're in big trouble. So get an education, then get a job. And here's the key. When you get that job, do every single thing that the company expects of you, and then find other ways to add value. And if you do that, you're probably never going to have to look for a job again because the jobs will find you. That's the career piece. And then on the family side, just get part of whatever family unit you want to be part of and just stick with it through the good and the bad. If you do those, if you put those three things together, I think you got a really good shot.
You mentioned the good and the bad. You've obviously gone through some adversity in a career as illustrious as yours. Can you pick out one particular moment where you can say, yeah, that was really down, and how did you work through it?
You know, interesting. I've had some of those. You're not going to have success all the time. And in today's, really probably all across my career, but in today's environment, it's a little bit like riding a roller coaster. You know, you get good news. Oftentimes it's followed by bad news. But in terms of, I've been doing this kind of work for a long time, and had a recent failure that I won't mention the exact thing, but we recently have been working with a very large, very important customer of ours and doing a really, really good job, and we have a very strong relationship, and they gave us an opportunity to expand our business across more of their business, and it was very, very important to us, and we were positioned really, really well. This wound is still fresh, so we were positioned really, really well, and we failed. We did not secure the balance of the business, and we really thought we should, and we're in a good position to do it. And so I think you I'm going through this process right now. You step back and you evaluate objectively what you did right, what you missed, and you learn from it, and you learn and you move on.
Very good. What gets you up in the morning? What motivates you these days?
I don't sleep much, so I'm already awake. The challenge. You know, I love the challenge, but I in our business, I love the people. I'm a kid that got married when I was 19 years old. My wife and I, luckily, we're still married, and after 36 years, and we've had a little bit of success in our life, and it was because I had great mentors who taught me a lot about what they shared with their knowledge with me, and then sponsored me for opportunities when there were good opportunities. So the thing that I love more than anything now is doing that, is trying to find people that are trying to, you know, that want to, not everybody does, but want to progress their career or help in their life. And I love just interacting with the people. It's the thing I love more than anything.
Fantastic. We like to wrap up Take 10 with a non-maudlin question, if you will. Something off the beaten path.
Should I be nervous?
No, yours is simple. Pulled pork, spare ribs, or burnt ends?
Burnt ends. I'm totally burnt ends.
I'm a burnt ends man, too.
I'm a burnt ends. I live in Kansas City, but I'm not a huge barbecue fan, so that's bad. But if I'm going to pick, it's going to be burnt ends.
Fantastic. John, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it. I'm here. I'm out.